I hope that you still stand amazed at the presence of his love. One of our students wrote that song about 2 years ago, and a young lady at the college, and there's about six young ladies singing in our auditorium, and I walked through the auditorium with some guests, and I heard that, and I just stopped. They finished, I said, let's hear that one more time. And I love that. We ought to be amazed because of what God's done for us. God has been so good in so many ways. I shared a verse with the students this morning. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. Don't let the thieves of yesterday or the thieves of tomorrow steal your joy today. We need joyful Christians. God's word says, rejoice to the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We need to be thankful. And we need to go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize it's about 18 till, and I know what time you usually get out. I will tell you what Elizabeth Taylor told all eight of her husbands. I won't keep you long, okay? So take your Bibles and turn with me tonight, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. We're going to read three verses as a text tonight. And I want to share with you one of the most important truths to the Christian life. I try to preach a different message every night because these guys have to hear me every night. And I had brought this message with me. I have not preached it these 3 weeks we've been together. I was ready to do it one time, and the Lord shut the door on that. And yesterday, as I was praying about today, he said, you need to preach this tomorrow night. And I told the young people, I know what I'm going to preach Sunday night, but I don't know what I'm going to preach Sunday morning. And the Lord really put it on my heart to preach this here at Worth Baptist Church. Because I believe that if you will grasp this truth, it will change your life, your family, and your ministry. I was reading the biography of Adrian Rogers about a year ago, and I thought it was a book on preaching, but it was really his life story. And he said something quite interesting. They said, who are the men who influenced your life? And he mentioned some people that are not in groups we associate with, like Bill Bright and others. But the number one man he mentioned was Dr. John R. Rice. I thought that was interesting. He said, because of a book he wrote called Prayer, Asking and Receiving. He said, that book changed my life. And tonight, as we share this truth, I pray that it'll be something that will impact you, will help you, and will strengthen you. Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And here's the text verse for the evening. Let us therefore, because of what we just read, come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, I ask for your help once again. Pastor and I prayed in his office tonight. I prayed this morning. I prayed this afternoon. I called my wife. I asked her to pray for me. But Lord, we acknowledge we need your help. For we know the arm of flesh will fail us, but we know your arm fails not. I acknowledge tonight, Lord, that in and of myself there dwells no good thing. We acknowledge that every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And Lord, we know you're here with us, because where two or three are gathered together, you're there in the midst. So, Lord, I pray that you will work tonight. We hide ourselves behind the cross of Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you will be honored, that you will be pleased. And, Lord, I pray that maybe for our having been here tonight, that each of us will be a little bit closer to being the Christians you saved us to be for having been in your house tonight. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was several years ago, and I was traveling on a country road. I was traveling with a girls' trio and a piano player, and I was in the front of the van. They were all in the back, and they were doing what Baptist tour group members do when you travel, sleeping. And at our college, the drivers, the preachers do all the driving, and for the patron saints for Catholics of travel is St. Christopher. The patron saints for Baptists when they travel is Rip Van Winkle. And the van goes on, they go off, and they're sound asleep, and I was driving down this road. I remember I was on the way to Providence Baptist Church. founded by a man by the name of Mark Lawrence, who is now in heaven. His daughter married the son of Dr. David Gibbs, Jr. And I was driving out in the middle, two-lane road. All of a sudden, I saw a van come around a corner in front of me, maybe a half a mile in front of me, and I just saw it drifting right off the road. And all of a sudden, the driver tried to correct, get back on the road, and he overcorrected, and that van began to roll, and it hit a tree. Bam! And I yelled, I said, oh, my soul. I said, I think somebody just died. We were the first ones on the scene. It looked like a tin can just crushed around that tree. The engine, amazingly, was still running. It hit right in the van. Every window in the van was popped out. The boy, fortunately, had a seatbelt on. He was bleeding from the face, though. He didn't have an airbag. It must have been an older minivan. He wasn't comatose enough to answer any questions. Interesting, ladies, he said, I want my mother. They never call for dads in times like that. And I was thinking about the possibility of fire. I had buckled them. I pulled them out carefully, not knowing if there were any spinal image or things like that. This was before I had a cell phone. And someone came. I said, get help. And I said to him, I said, help is on the way. Help is on the way. I propped up his head. He was able to breathe. His passageways were clear, and I couldn't witness to him. I remember taking out a gospel tract out of my pocket. By the way, that's why it's good to always have them on you. I took that out. I stuck it in his pocket. Thought maybe he might read that later on. And finally, the paramedics came, the policemen came, and I turned his care over to them. But I remember that day saying, help is on the way. Can I tell you, Christian, tonight, that for us, help is on the way. It's there if we ask for it. In fact, in this passage, we see that God is asking us to come to him. It's extraordinarily difficult to see a monarch or a president, whether it's President Trump or former President Obama or Queen Elizabeth. I don't know many people who've ever met a reigning head of state. Maybe Putin or Netanyahu. But can I tell you this? We have something far greater than that. We have access to the creator of the universe. Even in ancient times, people were not allowed to see a monarch. We know the story of Esther, and unless bidden, she was not to go into her own spouse. But she had courage, and she realized the fate of her people were at hand, and she went in, hoping that, in essence, she would get the thumbs up, and she did. Tonight, the Holy Spirit is calling you to come into God's presence. I cannot overemphasize the importance of prayer in the life of the believer. Parents, I challenge you to pray with your children. Parents, I challenge you to pray with each other. It's the last thing my wife and I do before we go to sleep, and oftentimes she'll go to bed earlier than I, and if I'm getting ready to go in and exercise on my elliptical and watch that Christian station, ESPN, for you ladies who did not know that was Christian, ESPN is Extra Spiritual People Network, okay? But I always ask my wife, are you getting ready to go to bed? Because I want to pray with her prior to her retiring. God wants to hear his people pray. I've taught the book of Genesis over 50 times, started back in Powell, Tennessee, many over 25 years ago, and every semester I've taught the book of Genesis. It's somewhat my signature course. I love that book. I have a new book coming out this summer, 100 Lessons for the Life of Joseph, the great type of Christ in the Old Testament. But it took me about 10 years to realize why God made us. Why were we created? Two reasons, friends. Number one, to walk and talk with him. And number two, to work for him. That's why they were put in the garden. Every day he came down in the cool of the day to walk with them and talk with them. And they were there to keep the guard. This is before there was ever sin. The hymn writer understood it when he said, he walks with me, talks with me, he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's why he created us. This is the throne where Christ made atonement for us. I love the fact that it was a throne of grace. One of the great commentators on Scripture by the name of Matthew Henry said this. He said he could have set up a throne of judgment. We deserve that. But he did not. dispensing the death we earn as the wages of sin. But instead, he set up a throne of grace. What a blessing. What an encouragement to us. We can approach with reverence and godly fear, not with terror and horror, because he loves us and he wants to commune with us. I want to look closely at the single directive on prayer tonight. First of all, we see why we come. When you see therefore in the Bible, you ask what it's there for. The answer is found in verses 14 and 15. We're to come because of who is there? Jesus, the God-man, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. What a blessing. What a wonderful thing. And he bids us come. We come because Jesus is there. He stands at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. But secondly, tonight, we see who we come to. We come to God himself. Wow. What an amazing thing. The God who created the world. The God who flooded the earth. The God who sent down the plagues and parted the Red Seas. The God who had Jonah swallowed by the whale and Daniel saved from the lion's den. That God bids us to come. What an amazing thing. The one who was able to save three Hebrew children from the fire says, come boldly to the throne of grace. So we see why we come. We see who we come to. Isn't that amazing that God bids you come? What a blessing. But how do we come? The Bible says that we are to come boldly. We have spent a lot of hours together, myself and these four young people, the last 3 weeks. We spent a few more hours together than we wanted to. We actually watched your church service 3 weeks ago because the church we were at canceled services. The church we were at Sunday night canceled services. It was the strangest Sunday I've ever had. Perfectly healthy and never left a house. First time in my life. We tried to watch your church service. I said, don't tell Brother Gabe Rule, who's preaching in Lancaster. We was watching your preacher, and I enjoyed hearing the singer, and Brother Side sang a solo, and Brother Barber quoted some scripture. I took a picture of that and sent that to Jonathan Comer when you're quoting scripture, and just enjoying it. Then your pastor got up to preach, and here's what he said. I'm going to preach a sermon today that I preached around the country, but I've never preached here at Worth Baptist Church. He said, I'm going to preach the story of the ugly sister with the beautiful story. Remember that? I'm thinking, I heard that about 8 weeks ago because he preached it at West Coast Baptist Club. But we held on there until something happened to the story about halfway through and the TV went off. But we enjoyed watching your service. And for you faithful remnant that were here, Lord bless you, right? The remnant that remain. But can I say this? God says to come boldly. The Webster's 1828 dictionary says boldly is intrepid, without fear. We don't have to be afraid of someone who loves us. My wife of 37 years knows that I love her. I'm excited about seeing her. I have not seen her in 34 days. I've been traveling, and our three grandchildren and our daughter's expecting our fourth live in Thailand, so she thought since I was going on the road, she'd go to Thailand and see the grandkids. So I've talked to her on FaceTime virtually every day. That's been great. But I'm looking forward to seeing her. If my bride of all these years came to me and said, sweetheart, I'd really like to have this. If it was in any realm of possibility, I would be glad to do that. And the reason is I love her. The Bible tells husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And she's not a big-time shopper. Praise God. But if she wants something, I want to help her. My love towards my wife is insignificant compared to God's love for you. God's word says we have not because we ask not. I'm sure it's apocryphal, but the story is told about people getting to heaven and seeing giant cavernous warehouses filled with things. And someone said, what are those? And supposedly God says, those are all the things I had for you that you never asked for. Are we asking God? Are we asking? We come to God. I know if I needed a dollar and it was desperate, there's some people here that I know. I'd feel comfortable to ask them. I hope you feel comfortable asking God. because we have not, because we ask not. Why do we come to God? Come boldly to the throne of grace. The Bible says that we might obtain help in time of need. How encouraging. Look at the verse with me one more time, if you will. The Bible says here that we may obtain mercy and find grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace. There's a pastor in Burnaby, Canada, just outside of Vancouver. I preached for him before. And two of his daughters graduated from our college. He's 47 years of age. He just found out he has cancer of the spine. 47. Four children, two still at home. I put him on our church prayer sheet. I sent him some things, some music and some books. And I text him weekly. I say, I'm praying that God will give you grace. His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. He'll give us mercy and grace. These are not based on the merits of our prayer. They're unmerited favor. God's blessings bestowed on us. But then I love this. When do we get them? In time of need. I do not know what your need is tonight, but I do believe that we're either going into a storm, in a storm, or coming out of a storm. You say, nothing bad has ever happened to me. Are you awake? I don't understand. My dad pastored the same church for 50 years. I don't understand why my mother, mother of seven children, who kissed one man her entire life, never smoked, never drank, a pastor's wife, a principal of a Christian school of 1,300 students, our Sunday school superintendent, why God chose to take her home with cancer when she was in her 50s? We need God's grace. We need God's grace. The need may be health. The Bible says there is mercy and grace. The need may be family. Maybe a lost loved one or a wayward child. There's mercy and grace. The need may be financial. There's mercy and grace. The need may be spiritual. There's mercy and grace. The need may be safety. There's mercy and grace. All of us have a need for growth. There's mercy and grace. Come boldly that we might find mercy and grace. No wonder in New Testament times, the greeting among Christians was grace to you. Grace to you. So we see what we have, but what will we receive from God? I rarely ever mention Greek words from the pulpit. I don't believe you need to know Greek to know the Bible. I believe God preserved his word for the English-speaking people in the King James Bible, and I'm thankful for that. But a year or two ago, I was studying this verse, and I was going to preach at a conference on prayer. Brother Doug Fisher was there, Johnny Pope was there, and Benny Beckham was there. I was the youngest preacher on the platform. That was a wonderful thing. I'm 60 years of age. I like that. And I was studying this verse, and I decided to look up this word help. I said, I know what help means. And I found that the word here for help in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 is the word bothea. And I did not know what that meant. I looked it up, and the word bothea meant frapping. I found out this word help is only found twice in the New Testament. The other time was in the book of Acts. It dealt with the life of the Apostle Paul. I didn't know what frapping was, so I looked up frapping. I found out that frapping dealt with the big cords on ship, big ropes. They said sometimes as big around as a man's calf. They would keep coiled in a bucket on the deck of a big ship that would go out in the ocean. And in a time of storm, when the waves were beating on that ship, and sometimes the boards would spring, they'd come loose, they would take those ropes, flip it over the bow and pull them tight around the ship. It literally would help keep the ship pulled together. In fact, in Acts chapter 27, the Bible says this, and when the ship was caught and could not run, we let her drive. We had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. My friends, can I tell you today? It's prayer that will keep your family together. I met one young man here tonight. His name is Jonathan. Because of this family, I don't know you. I have not met any of you. But I'm going to ask for your whole family to come up here for two reasons. You four right here. Yes, ma'am. That's you. You're saying, what on earth did my son do? I'm picking you for two reasons. Number one, Jonathan came up and introduced himself to me. And number two, your two children have been extremely well-behaved this entire service. I'm impressed. It's not usually good to drug children, but they're doing very well. Okay. What is your last name, sir? Ooh, what's your first name?
Tony.
We're going to greet Tony's family here, okay? Now, Tony, how long have you and your wife been married?
10.5 years.
10.5 years, praise the Lord. And Jonathan is how old?
6 years old.
And your little sister, Jonathan, how old is she? 4. Jonathan, does your sister behave? Wow. He's long-suffering. All right, good. Now, Brother Tony, why don't you come out here with your family, and I want you to hold one end of the rope right here. Why don't you guys come here, stand right by him. All three of you, come on up. And what we're going to do here, I'm not going to hurt you, don't worry. We're going to take this rope, we're going to put it around the family. There you go. There you go. We'll call this the rope of prayer. How many think we want to see Tony's family to grow up to serve the Lord? And for his life to have a good testimony? The Bible says that prayer is the help. It literally will bind us together. It'll keep us from coming apart. The frapping for our life, if you will. Let me ask you, did God hear you pray for your family this week? Thank you, Brother Tony. Appreciate that. Just drop that right there. It's great. Give them a hand. Didn't they do a great job? Thank you, Jonathan. But let me ask you this. How many of you would like to see God continue to work here at Worth Baptist Church? Did you pray for your pastor this week? Did you pray for the staff this week? I try to pray for Pastor Chapel every day, morning and evening. I pray for his 4 adult children. Larry and Matt, Christine and Danielle. Why is that? Because sometimes Satan will attack through the children of people in Christian work. We need to wrap them up with a rope of prayer. God wants to hear his people pray. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Can I challenge you tonight in closing to find a place? The Bible uses the word to go into our closet and pray, a place of privacy. I got up this morning before the boys were up, and I showered and got ready, and I told Freddie he was getting up, and I said, I'm going to go and read my Bible and pray. I went somewhere where I could just sit and pray. God wants to hear us pray. Can I challenge you to find a place to come boldly to the throne of grace so that you can obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need? I read this poem and it made a difference in my life. It says this. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, why, child, you didn't knock. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the days toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He answered me, but you didn't seek. I woke up early this morning, and I paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this great truth found in Hebrews chapter 4. And Lord, as Pastor prayed in his office tonight, I pray that we will not just be hearers of your word, but we will be doers as well. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, I wonder how many here tonight would say, Dr. Rasmussen, I do know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If you could say that in testimony tonight, would you raise your hand? A great sea of hands, exactly as I expected. Thank you, and put your hands down. If perchance you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it is the singular greatest decision you could ever make. And I challenge you to come talk to the pastor tonight and He'll direct a man to a man and a lady to a lady in just a few moments. They can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. But tonight, on a sunny night here in the winter of 2018, I directed this message to a great church where God is doing great things, but I believe he wants to do even greater things. I wonder how many here tonight would say, Dr. Rasmussen, with God's help, I'm going to make prayer an important part of my life. You see, friends, we have time for the things we schedule. That which gets scheduled gets done. How many would say, with God's help, I'm going to seek to pray more in this new year, rely on God more, and draw nigh to him so he could draw nigh to me. If God spoke to your heart about this tonight, would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? Many, many hands raised. Praise the Lord. You can put your hands down. Just a moment, we're going to stand and have a brief invitation. I would encourage you not to talk to me, but if God talked to you and you raised your hand, why don't you come talk to the Lord about whatever it is he talked to you about? Make a decision tonight. Today is the first day of the rest of your Christian life. Lord, I pray you bless during this invitation time. I pray you'll speak to hearts. I pray that those who raise their hands will talk to you. And there'll be a new step of faith, a new time of prayer for having heard this tonight. With their heads bowed and eyes closed, I ask you to stand to your feet if you would, please. As the pianist continues to quietly play, if you raised your hand, the altar is open. Why don't you come talk to the Lord about whatever it is he talked to you about? I don't need to know. I think it'd be a wonderful thing if families were to pray together. If spouses were to pray together, I think it'd be a great thing. We're at the cusp, the beginning of a new year. Let it be a year of prayer. A time we walk with and talk with the Lord. The song says, sweet hour of prayer. Can we spend 15 minutes of prayer with our Lord and Maker? Will we talk to him? Will we ask him to guide us? Do we ask him to speak to us and show us the way we should go? Genesis 24, 27 says, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He wants to guide. He wants to help you. He wants to direct you. But we need to go to the prayer room and take our hands off the steering wheel of our life. One more stanza, I'll turn it over to Pastor. If God spoke to your heart, please speak to him. He wants to speak with you.